game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire! It is impossible!
Podcast is back. I missed you.
I know. You haven't melted away in the summer heat yet?
I have not. The sweltering swamp heat. Although, don't you kind of have swamp heat in Florida? I don't really know how that works.
Yeah, we're hitting hundreds. Feels like, you know, hell, whatever that is.
Yeah, but see, we can talk about how your weather's a little bit worse now, but during the whole basketball season, it's a lot better.
Yeah, that's always a way, though. We still got a couple months till that.
Yeah, but that's when most of the listeners will come back. Who knows how many people are listening to this? We are in the dregs of the off season, but the dregs of the off season for us means it's rankings time. Woo! Got to get to those early. Oh man, there's still so much that can happen.
not too much. I mean, I guess that Russell Westbrook thing—that was a big one.
Yeah, I still don't think it's going to change my rank, but we'll see. But before we get into any of that, I just want to see how you're doing. How are you handling basketball offseason? Because we're going to start ramping it up a little bit more here. But it's been when was our last podcast? Was it the draft podcast?
Yeah, my thing here says 7-5.
Man, it's a long time ago.
Yeah, commonly referred to as a month.
Oh, that's what we did. We went through all the teams with quick free agency moves.
Oh, wow, that was a while ago.
That was a good pod. And then
Summer League in there. I know you watched some of that.
Some D-League. I don't think we talked much D-League in that one because we just did free agency moves. And then the one before that, we ended on laughing at the Thon Maker pick in the live draft special.
Yeah, that might make us look stupid in the end.
Yeah, that's true. So that's what we're going to talk on today's show. D-League, not D-League, damn it, I'm in off-season form. Summer League, which is kind of like, what's better, Summer League or D-League? Like skill level, not, I mean, eventually, obviously, the Summer League's going to have a lot better players in it.
There is a D-League All-Star team that plays in the Summer League, so I'd say it's pretty even.
Is there really? I didn't even know that. How'd they do?
I think they did pretty well in the tournament.
Oh, well, they didn't win it because that was a hell of a finale for the Summer League. Did you watch that game?
No, I have trouble making it through halftime of those games.
Yeah, understandable. So that's what we're going to do on today's show, Summer League. We're going to talk a little bit of that finale, the big standouts, a few of the duds. And then at the end of the show, we're going to go through our Razzball top 10, my tip top 10 on the site with slim, slight disagreements. Although we agreed through the first six, I think it was, right? So, or maybe it was the first seven, I think.
Yeah, I think we're good on seven.
Yeah, so little too much agreement there. We're just going to have to make fun of each other for some other stuff. So that's what we're going to do.
Y'all ready for this?
Slim, are you ready to talk some Summer League?
Yeah.
So how about Denzel Valentine hitting back-to-back buzzer beaters to win the Bulls the Summer League, hit a buzzer beater to put it into overtime at the end of the fourth, and then win it in overtime, even though he had a pretty bad game, if memory serves. What do you think of Denzel Valentine this year? Any mixed league value now that they got Wade?
How much of Wade are you going to get? No, they're pretty deep. I mean, you don't know how much Jimmy Butler you're going to get. You don't know how much Rose you're going to get. There's going to be a point he'll be a hot pickup, but will it last more than a couple weeks? Probably not.
Man, Denzel Valentine in that game was 7-8-3 with 2 steals, no blocks, and shot 3-for-10 for the game. The only 3 he made was one of the buzzer beaters, and he had 4 turnovers. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm looking at 35% for the 7 games.
Yeah, 25% from deep. Yikes.
2.7 assists are a little odd. Yeah, I think that'll be a lot better than what it was in Summer League.
You'd imagine so, but I don't know. I think he's going to struggle for PT.
Well, he's an older guy. There's going to be room for him to play something.
Yeah.
And when somebody goes down, he'll get 30 minutes for a couple of nights in a row.
Wade and Butler, man, that is not exactly your healthy backcourt, is it?
No, and you know, I said Rose. I keep forgetting he's not on that team anymore. He's on the what's it called? What do you call it? Super team?
The super team. The super Knicks. The super team Knicks. Everyone's talking about the Warriors, our super team there in the West. We're the super team of the East. And by super, I think he meant that they'll actually make the playoffs?
I think there's a good possibility.
To the other standout in that game, Tyus Jones, MVP of the Summer League. They almost should have won that game. He hit a near buzzer beater. It was like a 35-foot three that gave them the lead before Valentine tied it back up.
But was this the foul call that shouldn't have happened?
No, the foul call that shouldn't have happened, I think, was the game before. But I know what you're talking about.
One that got him, yeah.
Yeah, the one where he, like, threw his body at the person jumping at him and he got a shooting foul call.
Yeah. And he did have a good summer league.
Yeah, so, I mean, look at those free throw attempts. Last four games of summer league, 7 for 9, 9 for 10, 11 for 13, and 8 for 10.
Whew. Yeah. 6.75 assists per 8 games, 34 minutes. 20. Turnovers a bit high, but 20 points a game. Yeah, I mean, he's got to have a place in that rotation. Got to.
Yeah, but how? Because as we talk about Tyus Jones' numbers, Chris Dunn's numbers were ridiculous too. Now, given he only played a couple games, got a concussion, sat out the rest of summer league, obviously he'll be fine. Well, I mean, we shouldn't make light of concussions, but he should be fine for the regular season. But Chris Dunn's numbers were even more special.
Yeah, I gotta love those steals.
Yeah. Chris Dunn's line, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Shot 54%, got to the stripe 15 times in 2 games. Now, he did only shoot 60% and had 3. Look at his fouls, 7.5.
Yeah, I see that, 15 fouls in 2 games.
Yeah, that's not good. But I don't know, if Rubio's not traded, they've got to play Chris Dunn over Tyus Jones, right?
I mean, isn't Dunn older than Jones?
Possibly. Probably is. I know he stayed at Providence for most of his years. I don't know if he came out as a...
He's a junior, but junior. He's 22, I bet.
Yeah, Tyus Jones came out as a freshman.
I think there'll be minutes for Jones, but yeah, it's not going to be enough.
So say Rubio...
Those four guys with your boy.
With Levine in there?
Yeah. No, I think all four will play, which is going to kind of hamper each one of them.
I don't know. Well, on the flip side of that argument is Levine showed he could play big minutes, and it's a Thibodeau team.
Yeah, that's odd. I don't know how he's going to – yeah, somebody's going to get benched. That's how he's going to deal with it. It's not going to change just because he's got depth, I don't think.
Yeah. All right, well, say Rubio's traded. Who would you rather – have first, Chris Dunn or Tyus Jones? It's still got to be Dunn, right?
Yeah, he's drafted so high. Yeah, people, he's you know, kind of dubbed the future already.
Would Tyus Jones become draftable in 12-team mixed leagues if Rubio was traded?
No, probably not.
Okay, so you're just calling this mostly summer league performance / not having a room on the team.
Yeah. I don't know how well he'd hold up in a full year as a starter. That's kind of scary. He's still kind of young for that.
He is a little undersized, and getting to the stripe that much, you worry if he gets just beat around a little bit.
When he's a restricted free agent, if he hasn't, you know, won the job, I wouldn't be surprised if someone pays him. We'll see how the progression goes, but I wouldn't be shocked. This is a lot. He did a lot better than the year before.
Yeah. To another point guard we both like, Cameron Payne, had a great summer league, but then got a Jones fracture. Man.
Yeah, that Jones, man, gets me every time.
I know, this Jones is haunting OKC with the foot fractures, right?
As long as he ain't the one putting the pins in, I guess.
Now, he is targeting opening night. But that said, and we'll talk more Westbrook in a minute, but Westbrook signed a 3-year extension, and they obviously have Oladipo. So there's not really that much room for him. But Cameron Payne, would you draft him in 14-team redraft?
Is he going to be ready? I mean, we're sure.
Yeah, they're hopeful. It's not like Alvin Gentry with Tyreek Evans, who said, yeah, he's not here on opening night.
No, I think that's a guy that probably goes undrafted. And then once he develops a good role, he's going to be a good, solid pickup. I think he'll work his way into the minutes. He's just too good not to.
You think even this year with Westbrook Oladipo?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think those two guys are going to play the whole game. Donovan will find a spot for him. It's not going to be 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Payne can be pretty good in less than that, especially if he's really running the offense with the second team.
Could he be in this post-All-Star break? Could he be Dennis Schroeder of last year?
He's a little different. I don't think he's quite that aggressive. But yeah, that's kind of, yeah. You know, Schroeder really got good minutes because he got benched so much.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. So probably you won't see those kind of minutes.
All right. Another Summer League standout that probably doesn't matter at all, but his numbers were ridiculous. How about that slow-mo? You've seen the movie Dread, right? Have we talked about that?
I think so, and I don't remember which Dread you're talking about. The one with Stallone?
No, that one's garbage. The new one with Urban.
I bet this is the exact same like line the last time we talked about it.
Yeah, and then they take the slow-mo drug. You know, you don't remember that? That was awesome.
Nah, it sounds a little B-movie.
Oh, that movie's great. Get out of here with your B-movie. Anyway, Kyle Anderson in Summer League in 5 games, 21.6 points, 7.4 rebounds, 3.4 assists, 2.4 steals, 1.4 blocks, shot 52%. He hit 8 threes in 5 games. Man, 80% free throws. So good.
Against that competition, he might be one of the better ones out there, but I don't know. I don't know if he gets these shots in the NBA.
What is the stat pie?
I mean, I don't know. He's a Diaw, you know? If Diaw can do it, he can do it. So, sure. I mean, it's not going to happen this year, but he's close. What, if his game really will translate.
Yeah. So are you looking at his Summer League numbers page?
Yeah, yeah.
What is pie? What does that mean?
3.1, what are you talking about?
Okay, so his Summer League statistics, it says PPG, RPG, APG, and then plus 24.6 pi. The hell is that?
I have no idea.
I know.
That's not the page I'm looking at.
We're looking at something.
Some advanced metrics right there.
Well, it's weird because it does points, rebounds, assists, and then it throws plus 24.6 pi. What the hell is that?
A really big circle. I don't know.
A couple really good basketball minds are like yelling at us because we don't know what that is, but I'll figure that out at some point. Another good Summer League standout, again at kind of that small forward power forward hybrid. Is Kyle Anderson really power forward? Nah, not really. But Trey Lyles. Oh my god, did you see his numbers?
Yeah, he really shot the three, right?
Yeah, he did everything. He just had an incredible Summer League. He hit 15 threes in 5 games, got over 10 free throws in 3 of those games. His average, 23.8 points and 9 rebounds a game. The assist, steals, blocks, not that great, but just was like an elite scorer.
Wow, really kept those turnovers down in 32 minutes.
Yeah, 3.4, not great.
I mean, sorry, not turnovers, the fouls.
Oh, the fouls, yeah, 2.6.
So he'll stay out there if he gets the opportunity. I think he'll get some decent run this year.
Okay. If Favors was I don't want to say hurt. I don't want to put that negative juju in the universe. But say Favors was traded or something like that. Would you take Trey Lyles or I'm having trouble finding like a comp like Damari Campbell or Damari Carroll? Why did I say Campbell?
That's not really much of a comp.
Yeah, I'm strong.
Lyles played 30 minutes a night. He'd be scoring a ton of points, but he wouldn't be doing it at a very good percent, and he's not going to help your defensive stats. And yeah, it's...
Who's like a score-only power forward?
It's your Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, Aldridge, but way less than Aldridge.
Yeah, you know, for now, I think his best role is 20 minutes off the bench and give me 10 points a game and, you know, don't lose us the game defensively.
All right. Well, I think he
might there, though. There's a chance he'll be a solid NBA, you know, scoring power forward for many years, especially if he's been shooting a three like this.
Yeah, and he's still really young. Isn't he second year of coming out of a one and done?
Yeah, I mean, he's Aaron Gordon, but without the defense, right?
Yeah, and without the sexiness. Aaron Gordon is a good-looking guy. He makes the uniform look good.
All right. Yeah, he does.
I was expecting you to clown me for that, but instead you just agreed. to the top two rookies in the draft, Ben Simmons. His summer league. How was his summer league to you in one word?
Assists.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 5.5 assists a game in 6 games. 3.83 turnovers, meh. Defensive stats, meh. Shot 32% from the field. Ugh.
Yeah, he can't shoot. I mean, this is going to be Moutier level kind of efficiency.
Is Ben Simmons from Australia? Should I have known that? I'm asking the most preposterous questions. I know this, Slim. I apologize. Yeah, his page says Louisiana State / Australia. I didn't know he was from Australia.
Yeah, I got birthplace Melbourne, Victoria, Australia.
Interesting, because I've heard him talk. I didn't think he sounded. He's no Dante Exum out there. Dante Exum.
Quality, though.
Dante Exum legit is like, try really hard and the dingo ate my baby.
I kind of understood baby, but I can't say understood. That's not the right word.
I drove to the hoop and put the shrimp on the bobby.
Oh, no, you knew it was going there.
Oh, I apologize to all of our Australian listeners.
I'm not convinced Ben Simmons is going to be a big scorer this year.
Well, I don't think so either. I mean,
15-ish points, maybe, even with big minutes.
I was going to put it at like 14, so yeah. Over-under his assists this year at 5 a game.
I'll go over.
Okay.
Sure.
Over-under, he is a top 90 player.
With like metrics and everything, it's going to be well under.
Yeah, kind of agree. But he'll help your team more than the metrics because of the out-of-position assists, right?
Yeah, and if you're punting something, then, you know, his value definitely takes a nice jump. Yes. He's a solid guy in a punt free throw, as long as you can handle the field goal percent. But that shouldn't be a high volume. So, yeah, he'd be solid in that build.
All right. If anyone could have more a precipitous fall off than Brandon Ingram, I don't know what, because after he got drafted, it looked like he was going to be the starting small forward. Then they go out and sign Luol Deng, and then he goes out and has a pretty abysmal summer league. Now, he did end it on a pretty good game, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists against the Jazz. But overall, his numbers, 25% from deep, 12 points, 4 rebounds, virtually no.
We always talk about guys having too many fouls. He had 3 fouls in 5 games of 28 minutes?
Yeah.
That's lackadaisical, isn't it?
He had 3 fouls and 1.6 turnovers. So he just was like a spot shooter.
Yeah, 4.2 rebounds? Come on. That's lazy.
In all but one game, he only had 4 or less free throw attempts.
Yeah, this isn't the Ingram we're going to see in a couple of years.
Well, hope not, for Lakers fans' sake.
Yeah, it is the Lakers. Where you draft him on you know, where we draft him is going to kind of tough. I'm not too sure.
He's not draftable in redraft leagues, right?
I don't see them trading Deng, so the small forward job isn't going to open up. Could he overtake those power forwards? Yeah, it's not impossible.
Yeah, I still think they'll want to play Randall.
Yeah, they'll want to, but whether or not that's going to help them win games is kind of another...
Are they still a team that wants to win games yet?
Yet. The process.
Trust it. Trust it, Slim.
No, they probably don't yet. You're probably right.
Here's your chance to make your Futurama reference.
I didn't work on it.
That's all right. Well, we'll work on some because I haven't watched Futurama, and apparently a few people also commented with this. But you like this Dragon Bender guy, even though his Summer League numbers were pretty bleh. He shot 27.5% from the field, Slim, with 3.8 turnovers.
Oh, I see that too. That 50% free throws.
Yikes.
The 7 threes on 7 threes per game on 10 field goal attempts per game. That pretty much means he was doing one thing.
I didn't realize all his shots were threes. He's like a 7'1" Marcus Smart.
Yeah, but that also meant he, even with the abysmal shooting, he had 1.8 threes per game.
Yeah, that counts for something, right?
And a steal and a block per game, so you're looking at a 3 a steal a block.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I'm just saying it happened, that's all.
Forcing a square hole into a round peg, or I may have gotten that wrong, I don't know.
He played a lot of small forward minutes. I think he can play both next year.
Small forward minutes, though? Do you really see them ever playing a lineup of Bender, Chris, and Lynn down the road?
I could see that. Okay.
Really? Because, like, Bender
Chris is going to be your defender.
Okay.
You expect him to be the rim protector. Bender, you know, he's the one that stretches the floor much better than the other two.
Well, Chris is supposed to be a shooter eventually, but...
Yeah, I got a feeling that he's got that ready for the NBA kind of vibe going.
I don't know.
If he has a big preseason and can get 15, 20 minutes early on in the year, you know, this is a team that I don't think is going very far. Probably going to be selling pieces off. There's minutes to be had in the second half.
Well, it's 7-1. Are you saying he's the next? Is he the next Goose?
Well, you know, because he's a tall foreign player and underweight, really? No, he's a different player. He's a lot smoother. He's a different style.
Smoother than the Goose. Interesting.
I mean, Goose is going to play some center this year. Watch out for that.
Yeah, well, now that they got rid of Robin Lopez, finally.
Yeah, Noah can't play all that many minutes.
To the other tall, skinny, undersized center slash might be small forward, power forward, the guy we laughed off in our draft recap, Thon Maker, your number 10 overall pick. We clowned him a little bit, but his summer league numbers were pretty good.
Yeah, they're okay.
They're better than Bender's.
Sure. That doesn't mean he looked better out there. I think he got pushed around, stayed outside way too much. I mean, the rebounding was nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had just as many blocks as Bender.
Sure, but there's a lot more to it than that. 37%, and he took a ton of threes as well. 79% free throws at a lot bigger volume than Bender. 14 points, scored better, 9.6 boards. That was a lot better. Had low turnover, much lower turnovers. Bender had a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, he did, but he was also had the ball in his hands a lot. They were letting him do quite a bit. They're completely different types of players. Bender's gonna have he's gonna be a passer. He's gonna be a good 2+ assists per game, not in the in the near distant future.
Yeah, but look how many assists Thon Maker had.
We're going off a couple of games here.
He had zero.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
He didn't get a single assist in all of Summer League in 30.4 minutes in 5 games. And over 150 minutes, he couldn't manage one assist. That's hilarious. That's Hassan Whiteside level of no assists.
Yeah, but the blocks are a little bit off of that. I don't think yes. Maker has the quick line to minutes like Bender does.
All right. I agree.
I mean, center, he's not going to come in and play center right now.
Not
get destroyed.
With Henson and Monroe, and then they have they traded Monroe yet? I feel like they've been wanting to trade Monroe for 2 straight years, even though I think they haven't had him that long.
I don't think anybody wants to pay that contract.
Yeah. Someone might a little bit down the road, as because of just by inflation and NBA standards, which is crazy right now. Well, it'll all of a sudden be
it's going to be backup money.
Yeah, it'll be exactly. So, well, those were the few standouts and thoughts I had. There's one person we can both talk about that we both don't want to talk about because we both want him in REL. Do you want to just talk about him anyway?
I don't know how to pronounce this.
Zubac.
Zubac.
Oh, come on. That can't be wrong. It's not like I Bajelica'd it. make that a verb.
You just added more things to his name. It now has an apostrophe and a D on it. Bajelica'd.
Right. If I ever get a name wrong, just say I Bajelica'd it.
Yeah. I'll make sure I do either. Yeah, okay. That might stick.
But I don't know his first name. Avica? Whatever. We'll just call him Zubac. great summer league. 10.6 points, 7.2 rebounds, 2.6 blocks, shot 64.7% from the field, and 81.8% free throws with only one turnover a game. I mean, that was a pretty ridiculous showing.
He's just some random second rounder.
Don't do that, Slim. This is a podcast for the people, not just for us two to play down how we want players in our deep leagues.
Yeah, and it was better each game.
Yeah.
Last game was the best one. He's gonna steal minutes from Mozgov pretty quick.
I'm putting him in my top 200 for sure.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, I think he's got the backup job pretty easily.
And it's not like Mozgov is, you know, formerly coming off 30-minute-per-game seasons. Mozgov barely can handle 20 minutes a game.
Oh, that was on a good team. We'll see how it goes on the Lakers.
No, he's never done it, though. Here, I'll pull it up real quick. I feel like
even... I wouldn't be surprised, and he's pushing 31-ish. Yeah.
It's slowly trying to load Mozgov's page here. It's like the first time anyone's ever looked at Mozgov's stats.
It's like
looks like his high minutes per game was in the 46 games he played in Cleveland at 25 minutes a game. And the 35 for Denver, he played 25 and a half. So he played roughly 25 minutes in 14-15. And that's by far his peak.
Yeah. That's, man, 20 minutes, game one for Zubac? 18?
I'm saying something like that. I mean...
Yeah, man, I just don't even want to talk about him. Yeah, it's going to be fun. He's going to come out of nowhere for a lot of people.
Yeah, not for Razzball, that's for sure. Unless they do something really stupid. And isn't, like, Tariq Black still there?
They might have guaranteed his contract by now. I don't think there's much competition there.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. Luke Walton promised him to give him a fair shot for minutes at competing in Los Angeles' front court. Well, Tariq Black, you're 6'9", and not great. I'm sure you're a great person. Oh, my God, they gave him a two-year, $12.9 million deal? What?
It's okay.
Yeah, we're down the rabbit hole in some rotational players of the Lakers, aren't we, right now?
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of not either. Zubac is 7'1". He's NBA size ready. He just changes the defense. I mean, no one wanted to attack him.
Yeah. And offensively, he was having his way, too. He looked like a man among boys out there. Yeah, I'm ready for this. This is, you know, you're going to be talking about Ingram all, you know, summer long, and then it's going to be, oh, no, I'm watching the Lakers for Zubac.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So keep him on your radar in your deeper leagues and redraft. This is too far out for that, but, yeah.
Now, if it's a 15-team dynasty kind of thing, there's no way he's not a top 15 guy for me in a dynasty rookie-wise.
Oh, amongst the rookies. I was amongst like, yeah, the 15th pick. I'll take Zubac. Wait, what?
Yeah.
No, I just meant like 15th overall pick with no players kept.
Not quite. But I was highly impressed with this summer league.
Yes.
Preseason, it could be really good. He might not be off the radar at that point.
Yeah. Anyone else from summer league catch a fancy?
Man, we covered a lot right there.
Yeah, I think we covered the big names. So
I can't think of anyone that's going to be in the top 200 we didn't mention.
I guess the
guy from the Celtics.
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, he was aggressive, had some good steal numbers.
Yeah, I don't know how much I trust that. He didn't get defensive stats in college.
No, and he also didn't shoot a good free throw percent in college, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I usually don't trust that.
68.7%. He got to the line a ton. Two games where he got 17 attempts. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. I remember he started slow. His first three games were not great, but his last three were pretty good.
Yeah, you know, you be aggressive like that, and I think he'll find playing time. Yeah, it's not going to be enough for us, considering his skill set, at least at this point in his career.
Yeah, 30.7% from the field, though. Blah.
Yeah, he might go, you know, a little underpriced on a deep dynasty.
Maybe. Another Celtic that was good, but I don't think means much, was Terry Rozier was pretty good, but there's no guard minute time there.
Yeah, there really isn't. They need a trade for anything like that to happen.
Yeah. I don't want to throw him under the bus, but we had a writer that really liked Buddy Hield. How did his summer league numbers look?
Lots of threes.
Thragnoff.
yeah. I think you need to figure out how to say that in German.
yeah. 16.8 points, 5.4 rebounds, 3.8 assists. It's pretty interesting, but virtually no steals or blocks. Ton of threes. He was 1 of 7 his last two games in each of them.
Yeah, 9.6 threes a game.
Not very good free throw numbers. I mean, he shot 90%, but he had nine makes and 10 attempts over 10 games. I mean, that's meh.
Yeah, it's not enough, especially considering the competition. He should have been far more aggressive.
And apparently he's from the Bahamas.
Freeport. Nice.
I love learning all these players' nationalities that I had no idea.
Yeah, we got to learn these guys before we can really.
So, Salim, I think that's going to wrap it up for the summer league there. It was a pretty good summer league. I don't think anything too crazy came out of it.
Yeah, we learned a lot about these guys. There's several guys we're going to be avoiding that we just mentioned.
Yeah, that's true. But don't let too much of summer league. I'm sure there's been rookies that have had great years that had bad summer leagues and vice versa.
Yeah, but you got, we really found out who Clarkson was from that one summer league. So it's
true.
It's worth paying attention to.
Yep, for sure. Especially with not much else basketball going on. So, Slim, let's go into my top 10. Woo!
Wait, are you telling me you're not watching Olympic qualifying?
Oh, get out of here with the Olympics. I mean, I'll watch some of it, but it's one of those things where it'd be like, oh, the Olympics are on. That's right. Turn it on. It's not something I like.
No, I mean, I'm not big into the All-Star game because it's, like, not competitive. So, you know, when we're playing a team and it's, you know, a 40-point lead by halftime, that's just not entertainment to me.
It's been blowout city, and I imagine it will be until they start getting into the last few medal games, you know?
Yeah. Was it last time they lost?
No. They've won like 80 games in a row, I think. They beat Spain in the finale by I think only 6, but it was mostly blowout city before then. Pretty sure that's right.
Okay. I thought I remember them losing one time, but, you know, my memory isn't the best. At least it's I have no excuse right now at being, you know, 7 o'clock at night.
No more morning podcasts for Slim.
I lost my excuse, man.
All right, Slim, let's go into my top 10. Where, like we said in the open there, we have a lot of agreement, but we're both sticking with Curry 1.
Yeah. 2%, that kind of sells it.
Yeah. A guy that last year he shot over 50% from the field while breaking the NBA's three-point record. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and there's no sign of it slowing down. If anybody's going to still get theirs, I think everyone agrees it's going to be Curry.
Yeah. Now, do you agree with something I wrote in here that my 1 through 4, I legit could, if I had four first overall picks in RCLs, I might take one of each of the four to spread my bets.
Yeah, you're not going to go wrong.
Yeah. Number 2, James Harden. Obviously gets to play in the D'Antoni system, but obviously you're punting turnovers. He broke a record of his own by having the most turnovers last year. Oh my God, I don't remember seeing this last year, but against the Pelicans last year, there was a play where he was running down the baseline and Drew Holiday was kind of like guarding it a little bit. And James Harden legit jumped on his back and just like rode on his back like a superhero. And they called a foul on Drew Holiday.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe that did not get, I mean, maybe it got a lot of pub and I just never saw it at the time. But I'll try to find that video again and post it to this podcast. It was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, that sounds mildly familiar.
Yeah, so... Harden will draw his fouls.
I think everyone's going to agree that Harden is going to lead the league in scoring.
Yep. It'll be tough for either of the Golden State guys, too. Westbrook might be close.
D'Antoni.
Yeah. Westbrook
He will be completely satisfied with Harden having the ball in his hands every single time down the court. Every single time.
Are you saying that D'Antoni will have a Harden?
yeah, for pretty much only him, because everybody else in the team is
Sorry, Clint Capella, don't touch the ball, you can't be fouled.
Yeah, just don't be fouled.
Last year I have Durant 3 agreement there, very safe.
No, with the I'll jump Durant with the contract. Now that we don't have to worry about a trade or anything from Westbrook.
Okay, so yeah, Westbrook...
Double numbers with all the extra stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but aren't you getting a little clouded by bubblegum stats? And did you see what I put in my post that mean very little to you?
What, did I have to punt a category?
No. Yes. Okay, yes, you're punting turnovers. But the fact that you're punting two categories, really...
Yeah, but you're gonna win rebounding with everything even because you just got, you know, basically, I mean, what do you have? Yeah, I see your numbers when Durant was out last time. 9 boards a game?
8.8.
Yeah, 10 assists per game?
9.9, yeah. you're overselling. I just gotta call you out a little bit on it. Come on.
No, I think Durant's going down. Not past number 4 overall. You know, I don't think he's gonna just fall off the face of the earth, Kevin Love style. But it's gonna be a decline, and Westbrook is gonna be better. Yeah, I mean, whatever deficiency Westbrook has, I'll just build around what he's good at, and yeah, you're good luck. You know, winning 5 categories off me in the finals. No, I'll take Westbrook.
That's a good point. Durant is definitely more multi-cat, spreads it out across all his stats. I don't know. So the stat in my post, if you hadn't read the top 10, was when Durant got hurt in 14-15, he had a how long was this run? I don't think 27 games. He came out to only 6, according to Basketball Monster, in that end of season span. In per game stats, behind Chris Paul, Brow, Curry, Kawhi, and Harden. Now, a lot of that is because Basketball Monster penalized him a ton for the 5.3 turnovers a game, which is ridiculous. But he also shot 41.7% from the field on 24.4 field goal attempts.
That, I remember the free throw volume was pretty ridiculous, too. So he really brought that up at the time.
It was, but I mean, all this said, that was for one stretch of time where he was out of his mind with Durant gone. I don't think it's a given he's going to replicate those numbers either.
No, I think the 31-9-10 will come down a bit, but I think it'll be not too far off. And I think both of those field goal percent and turnovers are going to be better because of Billy Donovan.
That's why you like Westbrook now, because you're a freaking Gator homer.
Oh, man. I can be a Billy Donovan homer, too.
So what is Billy Donovan going to do? Sell me. Okay, so as we also mentioned in the show, and I just want to be clear that, so Westbrook did sign a 3-year extension worth $85 million to stay with the Thunder, so no threats of trades, and I mean, even if they're just atrocious, they're not going to trade him at the deadline. So
they're not going to be atrocious.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I was just
going to attack from the backcourt like crazy.
Yeah, I was just, you know, painting the picture. So now that there's no threat of him being traded, and that was part of my rank too, is that if he got traded at the deadline, even though he's still probably going to be the best player on almost every other NBA team, I would think it would hurt his stats a little bit. So now that that's out of the picture, sell me to move Westbrook to 3/4 because of something Donovan's doing. Go.
Can I sell you the drop of Kevin Durant?
No. You need to sell me on what Donovan's going to do to make the field goal percentage not get out of control, the turnovers be out of control, and the fact that there's no one spacing the floor with him. I mean, Oladipo
was a 40% three-point shooter last year?
Oh, he wasn't that good.
You know, Oladipo's going to have the ball in his hands quite a bit, too, so I think that's going to help with those turnovers coming down.
Won't that hurt the popcorn stats you just said you were really excited for?
Not the rebounds. I'm not worried about that. The assists are going to happen. They're just, you know, that's what he does now. With Durant, he was still getting 10 a game, and without, he was getting 10 a game, so I wouldn't put too much on that.
Yeah, you're way off. Oladipo is 34.8% from three last year. Come on, you're rounding up on everything. That was a massive round. Well, because I didn't mean to slam you so much, but I've always noted that I thought Oladipo didn't have a great perimeter shot, and he's never had more than 1.5 threes a game. Last year, 1.4 was as high. I don't know. Is Westbrook going to settle for threes too much when they're down?
No, I think he'll attack. I think there's going to be a little chip on his shoulder from Durant leaving.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of like a, I don't want to say a cliche. I'm not trying to be rude, but you know what I'm saying. That's something. I feel like
you gotta follow your gut sometimes. I mean, this isn't all rocket science.
Oh, for sure. Or else fantasy wouldn't be any fun, but. Back to the question that started this whole thing. Sell me what Billy Donovan's going to do to help. Because you're the one that just, you were like, Billy Donovan. I think you said it in that exact tone. Billy Donovan.
Oh, yeah, I got a little close and whispered. Yeah, kind of in your ear a little bit there. You know, Billy Donovan is a good coach. He does what needs to get done. If you start turning the ball over like crazy, you sit the bench. Somebody else will do it. He's not going to let this get out of hand.
Yeah, but doesn't that just hurt your argument? That if
not for efficiency.
He had 5.3 turnovers a game in that stretch without Durant. If he's turning, and you just said if he's turning it over a lot, he's going to hit the bench. And we both talked about how we love Cameron
Payne. No. I didn't say Russell Westbrook would hit the bench. I said a generic you.
Oh, okay. So if I'm playing on Billy Donovan's team,
well, yeah, Westbrook is smart enough that when he starts doing stupid stuff and Donovan gives him the glare, he'll start doing something else.
Westbrook's got a pretty good glare too. He might just glare back.
Yeah, I mean, he's got something to prove. No, I don't want to sell him short.
Oh, trust me, I'm not, the very first thing I said with the top four is I might spread them out. Like, this is so, like, fine, razor-cutting, hair-picking, whatever you want to do. Like, all four of these guys are really close. So, I just don't know, I don't know if that's enough for me to push them over the safety of Durant.
Who's going to be more fun to watch night in and night out?
Well, that's not what ranks are for.
Who's going to get more minutes?
That's also not what ranks are for. Is minutes a category?
Oh, it's an important one.
Well,
Yes. Ask Mozgov how important minutes are.
Okay, but Mozgov is not in my top four, unfortunately. Now, he was in the Lakers' free agent targets, apparently.
Well, I know someone who's making less money than he is.
Monta Ellis, damn it!
Yes. That took forever.
Oh, my God. Monta Ellis is still on, like, a four-year, $40 million deal. I mean, there's, like Solomon Hill got, like, the same deal. Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. Monta Ellis's agent needs to get fired.
No, I think that's a good agent for Fisher to go to.
Oh my god, that is ridiculous. Oh my god, what team would take Derek Fisher right now?
Oh well, there's three possibilities. Okay. You got the Cavs.
Sure.
I mean, they gave Jefferson like a three-year deal, right?
Oh god.
I mean, if the Timberwolves are going to keep Pekovic and Garnett, then why not?
Oh, they've got too many point guards. They're like, sorry, Fish, we're going to play Tyus Jones in garbage time, not you.
And, you know, for the Lakers, you could make an argument he's a good locker room guy.
Yeah. He'll go to the Lakers, and anytime he sees D'Angelo Russell pull out his cell phone, he just fops it and knocks it right down.
Oh, yeah, you do not let that man near your electronics.
You want to know what actually would be an interesting team? Isn't Doc's son injured? I gotta check that.
Clippers?
Yeah, isn't Austin Rivers hurt or something? I know they signed him to an extension.
They paid him, yeah.
I guess he's not hurt anymore. I guess he was hurt at some point last year, though, I've ran.
Didn't Crawford come back? No, that's not a great spot.
Yeah,
there's no minutes available for the 42-year-old Fisher.
I just saw now that the Clippers signed Raymond Felton. I didn't see that before.
That's quality depth. We'll just keep him down at AAA for the year. That's all.
He had a good deep league season for the Mavericks.
I know. It was for a while.
Wow. 9.5 points, 3.6 assists.
It doesn't look good like that. There were stretches that were much better.
Yeah, 0.9 steals with only 1.5 turnovers. Well, I'm just saying, like for the deep league players, that I remember he was a good REL find. So, all right. Well, there's our top four. I honestly might have my mind changed with the Westbrook Durant at 3-4, but see what happens there. We both agree, Carl Anthony.
Donovan argument.
What?
Was it the Donovan argument?
Yeah, that my write up for moving Westbrook up to three will just be Donovan. We both have Towns 5. His post All Star break numbers were ridiculous. I was surprised that he had 3 assists a game post All Star break. Wow.
Yeah, it's silly, and there's no way. Yeah, I was gonna say there's no way. It's possible there's worse, but it's gonna get better, which is so scary. Yeah. Throw me some threes on top of it and. Oh, man.
Yeah. He took 1.1 threes last year and 1.4 after the break. It's not huge, but, I mean, if he makes anywhere close to a three a game, it's going to be crazy. Same was said of Brow last year. If Brow and Towns play 82 games apiece, which one is going to have better stats?
Ooh, how good is Brow going to be playing with, like, a broken ankle and... dislocated. No. If Brow played 82 games, you can make an argument in the top four.
Yeah, I think so too. But, you know, Cat played all games last year. Brow has never gotten a 70.
And you can make the argument that, you know, playing somewhat injured is why the numbers went down. And if he was healthy for 82, that he'd be right back to where he was the year before, which was far and away number one.
Yeah, that was a few years ago before Curry started hitting a bajillion threes.
The Anthony Davis first year number 7, though. That's quite the debate.
All right. So number 7, I have Chris Paul. I honestly flip-flopped those two a few times in my head. But the reason I went with Brow 6 and Paul 7 is there's some pretty good point guards that have really emerged into that second tier that... I don't know if I feel as good with the bigs in the second round tier, you know?
Yeah, and I could see a little bit of a dip in Paul's numbers. You know, he was better with Griffin down, and if we assume Griffin's not punching anybody in the face, then he should be Yeah, you got to assume that it's going to be a bit. Yeah, because he's getting kind of older. But, you know, they're great ones. 31. Man. Number seven. Yeah, that's. I don't think you can go higher. I don't think you can go lower.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's close between him and Brow. If you have a big, you're huge on in the second round, I could see going Paul six. But, you know, you got Kimba, Lillard, Lowry. A lot of good point guards in the second round.
Yeah, definitely should be able to get a point guard. I mean, if we're talking about a 12 or you're talking, what, 15, 16, 17 range, yeah, you should have your choice.
Yeah. So that's why I think Brow makes a little bit more sense one, I bet, ahead, but they're close together. All right, here's where we start differing in our ranks other than the Westbrook change and the extension. So I've got Whiteside 8. Where did you put Whiteside in yours? I forget.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, I'll pull it up. Deal. But why do you not like Whiteside?
I'm pretty sure I put LeBron here.
Yeah, I mean, let's table some of our LeBron talks for the rest of my ranks. I have LeBron firmly at my 11, and I want to save him for when we're on that part. So we'll save
right,
that.
So just every time I say his name, just give me a nice bleep or something, and it's kind of hard not to talk about who you put here. Yeah. I'm punting free throws. Give me LeBron and Drummond, and yeah, I feel comfortable and safe. And nah, Whiteside's got some risk.
Sure, but doesn't LeBron have some risk too for the benching?
Yeah, LeBron's risk is getting older and possibly DNPs, but I think Whiteside's injury potential and you know, elbowing people in the face potential is still there to miss some games. So I wouldn't say one is greater than the other. The free throw percent after the break, that could be fluky.
No, he changed. I don't think something's a fluke when there's a legit complete change to how he shot free throws.
Talking about 25 games, we'll see.
No, it was longer than that, the stretch. And he changed. It was, let's see, did I put it in here? Final 37 games, he shot 73.2%, and he changed his free throw approach. He did the very standard flat, stand there, shoot your free throw. He changed that to like kind of like half-ass, do a little mid-range jumper.
Yeah, I know. And it was a heck of a lot better.
Well, how can you say it's fluky if there was a legit change to how he did it? He shot 20%.
It could be fluky. That it could be. I mean, he's got a much bigger, much bigger grouping of history of being a 50% shooter than he does of being a 70%+ shooter.
Sure, but he had Slim, you're insufferable. You know what?
Hey, I'm just saying it's possible. I'm just saying there's risk. And that risk isn't there with LeBron.
His free throw percentage is going to be better because of Billy Donovan.
If he I would give up multiple Spolstras for Donovan.
Multiple Spolstras. And yeah, Whiteside, I think he's in that elite class at 8 because he's going to lead the league in blocks and he's not a free throw punt. So,
do we think that everybody else is going to have him this high?
Yeah. I think he'll be top 10 on most lists.
Because, you know, if I'm taking LeBron first to this 8 spot, if I think Whiteside's going to drop to 15, yeah, that's a little better than the Drummond pairing.
Oh, for sure. If I knew Whiteside,
and it takes that free throw risk right out of it.
Yeah, if I knew Whiteside would go that low, I might reach a little higher for LeBron. But I don't know. Weren't you leading? All right, fine, we're gonna talk LeBron because you keep bringing his name up, you little issue. Why? You were leading the charge anti LeBron last year, and aren't you getting a little clouded by the playoff performance?
It was good. I didn't watch a whole lot of it, tell you the truth. I was busy watching the West.
East Slam.
Yeah, there aren't too many of those.
I mean, last year, the numbers are great. The points stayed the same. He shot 52%, which is good. It was up from the year before. His threes dropped to 1.1. His three-point percentage fell. His free throws are obviously still a mess. The assists fell from the year before. Still over 3 turnovers. steals and blocks aren't the same as they used to be. Yes, he's safe. He played 76 games last year. It just feels to me like everyone's buying into just the greatness that was the playoffs, and I feel like they're just going to coast again. He's going to get those late DMPs. I don't know.
You think they're a better team this year?
I think they're the same team, and that's all they need.
You don't think the other teams got better? You don't think... I can't even say with a straight face. You don't think the Super Knicks are going to be...
Oh, my... Yeah. The Super Knicks are going to super challenge.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And I mean, and his numbers at the end of the day were like 10th overall.
Yeah, you know, the out-of-position assists mean you don't need to worry about the point guard early, which is kind of the reason that Kawhi, I think, is underneath him.
I searched BB Monster for Basketball Monster, and I got some sort of music video that is not Basketball Monster. What the is this? Big Bang by Monster MV. What is this?
Wow. Yeah, gone down a rabbit hole.
I don't care. It's the off season. I'm going to play it for a second on my iPad. Let's see what this sounds like, if the video will ever load. Oh, of course there's an ad. Screw you, ad. You ruined your airtime of this video. Okay, never mind that. So where do you think LeBron finished on Basketball Monster?
If we're putting free throws, because that's what I'm doing. No. I'm not taking them if I'm not putting free throws.
But Slim, that's the problem of doing ranks. You can't do ranks and rank this guy because I know if I'm going to get him, I'm going to rank turnovers. And if I rank this guy, well, I know I'm going to need to change it because I'm punting free
throws. Okay, well, ranks are a personal thing. I rank guys depending on the leagues that I know I'm going to be playing in. So, yeah, if you're playing in a roto league, then yeah, LeBron's going to fall out of that compared to where I'm going to play him and, you know, at 12 or head-to-head.
Well, yes, we're doing rankings for RCL head-to-head leagues, as we always do.
Then I'm putting free throw percent at 8.
All right, LeBron was 9th last year in Basketball Monster, barely ahead of Millsap and behind Westbrook and Whiteside.
And a punt free throw?
I can do that, but it'll take me a second.
I believe in you.
Oh my god. Vamp with something. Tell me a story.
Let me get my do out, my digi. Oh, yeah, that's not going to work.
He jumped up to only 8th last year. Oh my god. Drummond went from the 80s to number 7.
Wow. Yeah, that's my combo.
DeAndre Jordan went to 3rd. I did not, like, I knew, obviously I know these guys are great if you're putting free throws, but this almost requires an article written on it. DeAndre Jordan was 3rd.
Yeah, I still think Drummond better, though. He's still progressing. He's still getting better. But, yeah, you might even find DeAndre in the 3rd round. So you could easily go. That's completely reasonable to have a team that's LeBron at 8, which you just said was where he was ranked at. For
punt free throw, yes. He was 9.
And Drummond's going to be there at 15.
Hmm.
I'll do that. My other option would be taking Whiteside and then a point guard. Whiteside Wall versus LeBron Drummond punt free throw. I'm punting.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll talk some draft strategy in a future podcast. Let's wrap up the rest of the top 10 here. Number 9, I have Kawhi. You put Kawhi at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Eh,
it's the assists.
Yeah, they're not great.
His big man stats are solid, just not spectacular. Yeah, it's not like he's blocking 2 a game.
No, but he hits threes and shoots 50%, and his free throw percentage was crazy in the second half last year. I think it was close to 90%.
Yeah, you know, this is much more to me about the build.
Yeah,
I feel like it's easier to find the small forward later than it is to find, you know, a good point guard.
Yeah, and I know you, especially after our whole long LeBron talk, you like to stat stuff the categories versus the spread out guys.
Yeah, for the most part. I got no problem punting one. Punting two is, you know, it happens. A lot of times you're punting a category and you didn't even really know it until you're in the fifth or sixth round of the draft.
Yeah. And then wrapping up, just because we're short on time now, Giannis is 10 for me. You have him at ninth. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, there's talk about, you know, are you going to have fun watching him, Giannis versus Kawhi? I love watching Kawhi, but Giannis will be a little more interesting.
I hope he unleashes the three a little bit more. I know the free throws are kind of annoying. You hope he works on it. But yeah, the popcorn stats are just through the roof.
Second,
his point guard level assists are just throw it over the top.
Yeah, last 26 games last year, 18.8 points, 8.4 rebounds, 7.5 assists, 1.5 steals, and 1.9 blocks. Man, flirting with triple doubles and flirting with rainbow lines. Man.
7.5 assists on nearly 2 blocks? That's so rare.
Yeah.
I can't even think of anybody that comes close.
A very, very unique player, and in that stretch, 7.5 assists to only 2.8 turnovers. So you get a pretty good turnover ratio for your point guard / center stats.
Yeah, you can go either way after this. Whoever you want with the second pick, you know, it could be anywhere. You just take best player off the board.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Could you do, oh man, imagine a Giannis Draymond start.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. You got to
get some scoring.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the points coming out of Draymond these days.
Yeah. I moved Draymond down to, I don't want to get too far into it, but I moved him all the way down to 17. I think I had him, you know, 12, 13 before.
All right, that's not bad. Pair him with a Brow or a Cat. All right.
Yeah, so... well, there you go. There's our top 10. I'm working. I'm plugging away to get more ranks done. But we've obviously got some time before the season starts. We're gonna start doing these. I haven't asked you this yet, Slim. Every other week, something like that.
I'm ready
for a while. All right, we'll do them every other week for the next month and a half, and then start getting closer to weekly and biweekly as we get close to the season. There, Slim. We only have a couple minutes left. Tell me real quick. What are some stuff you watching?
Oh my God, you have to watch Stranger Things.
Oh, that Netflix horror thing?
Phenomenal. Must see TV.
You want notes on Netflix now? Shameless.
Ah, nice.
So what do I have to watch first?
Well, the Stranger Things is just the one season.
Yeah.
Shameless is going to take some time. So watch the new one. It's phenomenal. It's horror, but no gore. It is amazing. One of the best horror TV shows I have ever seen.
Did you ever watch the American Horror Story?
I've seen some. I didn't really follow it episode to episode.
Yeah. I'm just not a big horror guy because usually it's dumb.
This really brought in science as much as it really could, but being explained to 12, 13-year-olds maybe.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, multiple universes and, you know, stuff like that. It was done really well.
So it sounds like sci-fi-ish.
Oh, very much so. Oh. Absolutely. They really try to make it, I mean, it's as believable as you can get, given that it's got a monster.
That's such a great tagline. It's believable as it can get, given it does have a monster.
Yeah, there's that.
Oh, that's great. I have been watching Preacher. I'm about 5 or so in. That one's really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's fun. It's one of those kind of things.
And the complete opposite of fun, I'm watching a show on HBO called The Leftovers. Ever heard of that?
Heard of it. I haven't started.
It's super melodramatic drama, but it's incredibly well done. It's a character drama. I had no idea Justin Theroux was such a good actor.
I have no idea who Justin Theroux is.
Oh, he wrote Tropic Thunder with Ben Stiller, and he's married to Jennifer Aniston.
Bet I misspelled his name.
Yeah, it's a Frenchy last name. You know what? His name's actually Justin Bajelica.
Oh, he Bajelica'd his last name. I got you.
On that note, we're going to wrap the show there. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope everyone's having a good offseason as they prepare for the 2016-17 season. We got a lot of offseason to go, but a lot of rankings to argue about. A lot of Billy Donovan to help out Slim's arguments. And this is going to be fun. I'm excited for this offseason, man. Take it easy, Slim.
Yes, sir.